Good morning, everyone, and welcome to morning prayer. My name's Margie. I hope you picked up a liturgy as you came in. One thing I've asked of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Who is it that you seek? We seek the Lord our God. Do you seek him with all your heart? Amen. Lord, have mercy. Do you seek him with all your soul? Amen. Lord, have mercy. Do you seek him with all your mind? Amen. Lord, have mercy. Do you seek him with all your strength? Amen. Christ, have mercy. Let's make the declaration of faith. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. As a community, we're reading through Romans at the moment, and today we've got into Romans 11, beginning at verse 25, Romans 11, 25. But I'm not reading from the version you have, so you might just prefer to listen, but it's up to you. I'm reading from the Passion Version. My beloved brothers and sisters, I want to share with you a mystery concerning Israel's future. For understanding this mystery will keep you from thinking you already know everything. A partial and temporary hardening to the gospel has come over Israel, which will last until the full number of non-Jews has come into God's family. And then God will bring all of Israel to salvation. The prophecy will be fulfilled that says, coming from Zion will be the Savior, and he will turn Jacob away from evil. For this is my covenant promise with them when I forgive their sins. Now many of the Jews are opposed to the gospel. But their opposition has opened the door of the gospel to you who are not Jewish. Yet they are still greatly loved by God because their ancestors were divinely chosen to be his. And when God chooses someone and graciously imparts gifts to him, they are never rescinded. You who are not Jews were once rebels against God, but now, because of their disobedience, you have experienced God's tender mercies. And now they are the rebels. And because of God's tender mercies to you, you can open the door to them to share in and enjoy what God has given to us. Actually, God considers all of humanity to be prisoners of their unbelief, so that he can unlock our hearts and show his tender mercies to all who come to him. Who could ever wrap their minds around the riches of God, the depths of his wisdom, and the marvel of his perfect knowledge? Who could ever explain the wonders of his decisions or search out the mysterious ways he carries out his plans? For who has discovered how the Lord thinks or is wise enough to be the one to advise him in his plans? Or who has ever given something to God that obligates God to owe him something in return? For out of him, the sustainer of everything, came everything. And now everything finds fulfillment in him. May all praise and honor be given to him forever. Amen. So those of you who were here yesterday, we heard something of Paul's explanation about God's grace towards the non-Jews, the Gentiles, by grafting us in to the Jewish olive tree, giving us the same inheritance as the Jews. But for Paul, he's grappling with this. For him, what must have been a sort of so frustrating thing that the Jews who have been waiting for their Messiah for hundreds of years now reject him. You know, what's God playing at? Why aren't they all receiving him? Why have they hardened their hearts? So I think it's his way of just praying it through and coming up with this, that for him, it's unthinkable that God, having chosen the Jews, could reject them as they are now at that time rejecting Jesus and still do. And the mystery that Paul speaks about is that God has allowed the Jews to reject their Messiah only for as long as it takes for all the Gentiles, or the non-Jews, us, to actually hear the gospel preached. And then he believes that the prophecy from Isaiah will be that in the end times, the Jews will come to recognize Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And they and us will all receive God's mercy and be brought into his kingdom. So it seems that some Gentiles were thinking that God had rejected Israel, but Paul is, you know, saying absolutely not. God's gift and his call are irrevocable. He can't change his mind when he's chosen to bless a people. And then he goes into this. And when you think about Paul's background, you know, he comes from being this very, very strict Pharisaical Jew who would not have in any way allowed anyone that wasn't absolutely righteous according to the law to think they were going anywhere near God. And then he has this amazing conversion experience, and then suddenly he's welcoming in all these people he would have seen as, you know, absolutely outside God's grace. So his own journey, I think, is then reflected in this thinking, but he's going to do it for the world. You know, he's doing it for Gentiles. So he must be going to do it for And I think he's just overwhelmed by, you know, his reasoning cannot work out that God would have this plan, you know, and allow his own people to be against him. And then he thinks, oh, well, you know, this is all, God's plans are always much bigger than ours. To which I guess we all have to say, amen. And he ends with this wonderful sort of praise of, you know, yeah, we can't tell God anything. He knows it all. And, you know, he just reveals bits to us at different times. But in the end, you know, everyone's going to come to faith in Christ. So we live in that time when we're still in that time of the Jews largely rebelling against receiving their Messiah. And actually, if we think of the situation in Israel at the moment and the Palestinians, and it's hard to see God changing that mindset, but nothing is impossible to him. So I'm going to suggest we do, first of all, we give thanks for our own salvation and God's amazing plans that are always so much bigger than ours. So we're going to start with praise and thanksgiving, just our own personal ones. And then you might just want to move on to praying for present-day Israel and the mess that there is in the Middle East, and praying for the Prince of Peace to bring peace to the Holy Land. So let's give thanks in our hearts first, but then pray for the Middle East. Lord, thank you that you've heard the prayers of our hearts. And thank you that your plans are far, far bigger than we can begin to imagine. And that you are working out your purposes in your world. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Let's turn to the canticle. Christ as a light, illumine and guide me. Christ as a shield, overshadow me. Christ under me. Christ over me. Christ beside me, on my left and my right. This day be within and without me, lowly and meek, yet all-powerful. Be in the heart of each to whom I speak, in the mouth of each who speaks unto me. This day be within and without me, lowly and meek, yet all-powerful. Christ as a light, Christ as a shield, Christ beside me, on my left and my right. And let's say the blessing using the word us, not you. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with us, wherever he may send us. May he guide us through the wilderness, protect us through the storm. May he bring us home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown us. May he bring us home rejoicing once again into our doors. So you're welcome to stay here as long as you like, but breakfast will be served in a few minutes.